Coming up next, Howard Holly presents Against All Odds. And now your host, Howard Holly.
Good morning, and welcome again to another bright and fantastic Saturday morning. My name is Howard Holly, and you are listening to Against All Odds, How Successful People Overcome Adversity. And I'm here with my co-host, Kristen Weitzel. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, Howard.
So, Kristen, we had Dr. Carl Eaton, president of Daytona State College, as our guest last week, and things are buzzing over that.
Yeah, she, what an inspiration. To anyone who didn't take the traditional course from high school to 4 years of college into a career, to see someone who has made such a name for herself in this community as well as other communities around the country, in New York and where she came from, but doing things in a non-traditional sense.
And yet and still ultimately becoming the president of not only Daytona State College, this is the third community college that she's been president of.
And this college is growing and expanding.
Yeah, it is. In fact, we should talk about the grand opening of the new building at the Flagler Palm Coast campus.
Mm-hmm. It's coming up this week, August 14th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Daytona State College campus off of Palm Coast Parkway in Palm Coast, doing a ribbon cutting and the grand opening of their new expanded facility.
So with that, let's begin to bring on our guest for today, Mark Gerling. And as you know, we've always tried to add a lot of diversity to our guests, and I think we've done that again here. Mark owns Gerling Travel Group in Flagler Beach, and I believe you're going to find his story, as I always say, interesting. Good morning, Mark, and welcome to Against All Odds.
Thank you, Howard. I appreciate being here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here, Mark. Now, Mark, you and I have been in sessions together. We're on the board of the Chamber of Commerce here, but we've actually not sat down and spent a lot of one-on-one time talking about your background, where you're from, and how you got your business started. Why don't we start with that?
Sure thing. Well, first, it's great to be here, and we do have some time to make up. But for me, I'm originally from Kansas City.
Okay.
Lived there about 25 years and decided to migrate towards the Sunshine State when I was about 25, basically just because I wanted to get out of, the shadow of living at home and just try to get out on my own and see what the world had to offer for me. And ended up in Key Largo, Florida from 95 and stayed there for about eight years or so.
That's got to be pretty good living, isn't it?
It was pretty good. Yeah. I really just wanted to learn.
Young man in Key Largo.
I wanted to learn literally how to fish in the ocean. I love to fish. Neat. It's one of my passions in life. And I said, I'm moving to Key Largo, and found a job as a waiter at a really nice kind of private resort, and just ended up making it a home. And it was just a great experience.
How long were you there overall?
I was there from like September of 95 and through December of 2002.
Oh, okay, great. Now, you started your business in Key Largo, is that right?
Our business started, my wife Shayla and I were both working at the resort that I was at. And we were, I was a sales manager at the time and had moved up from being a waiter at the outside restaurant, sweating every day, you know, earning my stripes. And ended up getting a job in the fine dining restaurant where I was waiting on some of the, you know, Fortune 100 company owners, CEOs, presidents. My claim to fame was getting the opportunity to wait on John F. Kennedy Jr. at the time and his lovely wife.
Oh, really? Wow.
Which was a pretty interesting highlight for me, mm-hmm. as well as many other, just people that I really learned a lot from. And then towards the end of our stay there, I was a sales manager, had worked my way up to the, to an actual regional sales manager's position, made an impression on the vice president at the time, and he took me in, gave me an opportunity, and I made the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
I took it and I realized this was an opportunity of a lifetime, mm-hmm. and, did that for about four of the 8 years I was there. And towards the end of that career, one of my jobs was to cater to the professional, NASCAR race teams that were racing at the Homestead Motor Speedway,
sure.
right there in
yeah.
Homestead, which mm-hmm. was the season finale, and it still is.
And Homestead is right there, right at the just before the Keys begin, practically. Yeah,
it's literally the last yeah, town you can come
right.
to, besides Florida City, which is yeah. about 3 minutes, and then you're into the 18 mile stretch.
Yep.
Yeah. So we had a couple customers there at the time that were race teams, and I told them, hey, I was moving on to a new job. We were moving to Austin, Texas. One of the corporate clients that I had at the resort, which was a orthopedic medical device company, had recruited me to come and work for them. And my training grounds were going to be Austin, Texas. Mm. And I accepted the job. And, you know, I saw, wow, what an opportunity, you know, maybe chasing a greener pasture sometimes, mm-hmm. not always sure what you're getting into. And I told a couple of the race teams that we were working with that were my direct customer. I said, hey, my girlfriend at the time, wife now, are going to start a small business doing travel logistics for the racing teams, essentially. And a couple of them are like, oh, that sounds like a good idea. We could use the help. And so we basically just put a name on paper, got it incorporated, and my wife ran it out of the basement of the home that we rented in mm-hmm. Austin for the 2 years we were there.
Oh, so you did go to Austin.
We ended up moving to Austin in December of 2002. Okay. You know, there was a change of management at the resort, and, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, maybe it's just time to move on.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes change is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And many of our guests talk about when the door opens, you know, you've got to burst right through. Don't be timid. You know, just take the leap and go. And it sounds like you did that twice.
I did that. I really did. And it was the scariest thing I ever did. I was nervous as a rat to give up my job. I was, you know, making a decent living, had established myself as a real sales manager, mm-hmm. Making my numbers, making great bonuses, just, you know, really respected by my peers. So it was a really hard change, mm-hmm. but, you know, one that I felt was just necessary.
Mm-hmm. Great. So then you come back. From Texas. What brought you back, and did you come here then, or did you go back to Key Largo?
We came back to Palm Coast.
Okay.
The vice president of sales at the time, in the Key Largo Resort, which was called the Ocean Reef Club, had, also left and was recruited to come open up the Hammock Beach Resort here in Palm Coast.
Okay.
And I was like his, you know, not only his good friend, but his lead sales guy.
Yeah. So somebody he could count on.
He chased me for 15 months.
Wow.
Come work for me. Come work for me. Yeah. I need you back. I need you back. And I said, well, I got to give this a commitment. I committed to be here to train. And to make a long story short, the job in the orthopedic sales, you know, obviously a highly, high income job.
It is a lot of income opportunities.
But I looked at the big picture and where, the territory that I was kind of looking to be put into was just not where my wife and I wanted to be mm-hmm. for the next 15 years. Mm-hmm. So we prayed about it. We made a decision, and we decided to move back to Florida, mm-hmm. where we just knew we'd be happy.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, that's oftentimes more important than the dollar amount that you could potentially earn, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I never wavered from it.
Yeah.
You know, we packed up and drove back across the country and ended up in beautiful Palm Coast, and we've never looked back since.
Yeah, and you came here to work at the Ginn Resort at the time.
I did. Yeah. I was, I moved right back into the same position I had in Key Largo, a regional sales manager for the Midwest market, covered about 10 states, you know, traveled, you know, once or twice a month for, you know, 5 to 7 days at a time, calling on, you know, corporations all over the Midwest. Most of those clients I'd already worked with before, so they welcomed me back and were happy to see me back in the seat because mm-hmm. they knew they could count on me to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So tell me this. Tell me a little bit then about Girling Travel Group. What is your business?
Girling Travel Group is essentially a travel-based company. We do the sports travel, which, like I said, started with within the NASCAR community.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
We only work with the professional teams, sponsors, members of the media, team owners, drivers, families. We do not do business with, like, the public. We just don't
right.
sell packages to the Daytona 500.
Sure.
There's enough online sites that mm-hmm. do that. So mm-hmm. we realized that's not our market. Let's mm-hmm. stick to what we do. So we started that, and it slowly grew. And, you know, sitting here against all odds, mm-hmm. I was sitting in a meeting at the Ginn Resort, and the owner at the time, Bobby Ginn, was talking to the whole staff about the Ginn Company, which was originally the name, if you recall.
Sure, I do.
And he said one day somebody came up to him and said, Mr. Ginn, what do you sell? Mm-hmm. Ginn Company, do you sell vacuum cleaners? And a light went off in his head, and he said, I'm not branding my own business right.
Right.
And I'm sitting in the crowd thinking, at the time, the company's name that we had was Girling Sports Marketing, Inc.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not a marketing company.
Yeah.
We're a travel company.
Right. Yeah.
So I changed the name that day to Girling Sports Travel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sent out some new marketing campaigns to all the marketing partners in the NASCAR community that sponsor, that look after the sponsors,
right.
You know, the big
right.
companies.
Sure.
And our business grew $1 million in 1 year.
Wow. Wow. So that's very fortuitous, right? I mean, just the, how it just came together. But both of you had an epiphany at the same time.
You could say that,
yeah.
Yes. I think the Ginn Company went to Ginn Clubs and Resorts,
yeah.
And as we know what happened, they really...
And Ginn Sports Marketing. I mean, Ginn Sports,
yes,
and a whole bunch of things. Yeah. So we're going to take a break here, Mark. We'll be right back. You are listening to Against All Odds with our guest, Mark Girling of the Girling Travel Group. We will be right back.
Greetings, Cindy Dalecki here from Marketing to Go, and we are moving to the center of town, Central Park Town Center, that is. We will be located at 145 City Place. It's the lone building near the lake at Central Park. Curly Tail Design is moving there, too. We feel blessed to help lead the way at Town Center. This area is primed to become a high-tech corridor in years to come, and we want to be positioned to be a part of it. Let us create a buzz about your business. Reach us at 386-566-3466 or visit us online at marketingtogo.biz.
Welcome back. Welcome back. My name is Howard Holly, and you are listening to Against All Odds. I'm here with my co-host, Kristen Weitzel, and we're here with our guest, Mark Girling of the Girling Travel Group. Mark, we just got through talking about how you started your business, your travels, some epiphanies that really changed and allowed you to build a successful business here, and we'll talk a little bit more about that success. But in this segment of the show, you know, I have a hypothesis, Mark, that the key to the DNA that allows us to be successful over time is not doing what comes natural and easy to us, but overcoming the obstacle, challenges, and adversities that life puts in front of us. And I believe you've got some things to share about that that our audience would like to hear. So let's talk about what adversities and challenges have you faced that you've had to overcome to achieve the level of success that you have thus far.
Well, Howard, my adversity started at birth, and I was born with a birth defect that at the time and still today has a fairly high mortality rate.
Hmm.
And so I never forget my mom and my dad always would tell me the story about here you are born, just born, and you're not breathing, and the doctors were like, we got to do something. So they determined that I had what they call a diaphragmatic hernia in my abdomen, and all my intestines had come through this hole, mm-hmm, and it collapsed on top of my lungs. So they literally whisked me onto an ambulance and took me across town in Kansas City, Missouri, where I was born, and put me in a children's emergency hospital and had surgery within 8 hours of my birth. And they said to my mother, we did what we could, but don't give 5 cents, this child makes it.
Wow.
So with that said, the adversities for me were I come out swinging. So I pulled through,
yeah,
which is great.
Did it continue to have an impact on your health in your early childhood years?
Howard, it did. The funny thing was, I had the surgery, and then they realized that my blood needed to be transfused because wrong blood type. Couldn't tell you the specifics now,
sure.
But so they blood transfused my blood. And then they realized, he got hepatitis from the blood transfusion.
Mm.
So here I am, literally an infant. And my mom said trying to get an ounce or two of milk down you at that point was a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So you were, very small, very tiny. We had to just pray a lot and just hope and pray that, you could get enough fluids in your body. And so all those little things did eventually, heal and, mm-hmm, grew up in a wonderful environment, had a great, great mom and dad, still do. But,
so you just had adversity early when you were born. You didn't face it again, right?
Well, I wish I could say that, but I'd be lying if I did.
Yeah.
So I got, did the, you know, I guess in my opinion, which was what a quote unquote normal upbringing, you know, loving family, good parents, had an older brother, younger sister. And so I was the middle child. Mm-hmm. So I just blamed all on the middle child syndrome.
That's right.
So in my teen years, I did struggle a little bit. You know, I just had some, you know, I had some adversities. It's just exactly what it is. And we're here to talk about adversities. And I'm really, you know, I'm actually proud to talk about the adversities that I had, challenged me in my teen years. And so I ended up, you know, kind of going down the wrong path through my early teen years and, struggled with, some addiction, with substance abuse. Alcohol starting at the age of 12 to about 16. I really, really, really struggled, had a very low self-opinion, really had no self-confidence, was just kind of a shell of a boy. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't know what to do or what was going on. So it was tough. It was really tough.
So what caused you to end that? What caused you to exit that period of abuse?
Well, I knew from the onset of the abuse, substance abuse, that I was not supposed to be doing this stuff. I just knew it wasn't for me and that it was going to cause me some problems. And, you know, my parents struggled with what to do with me. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Mm-hmm. So back in the day, this was in the 80s, mm-hmm. they had an epiphany and they found a facility, which was really, you know, it was almost like a foster home / rehabilitation facility.
Okay, sure.
That they, you know, tricked me to get to go because they knew I wouldn't go willingly. Mm-hmm. At the time, when I was 16 years old, I had literally moved out of my house, told my parents I was leaving and I was living on the streets and they didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But you know, really rough.
So they did almost what we call nowadays an intervention. Yeah.
They did an intervention. Yeah. And, they lied to me. Mm-hmm. To get me into, this rehab center, which was at the time in Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And we were in Kansas, mm-hmm. Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And we got to this cobblestone building and we walked in and I was under the intention that I was going to live with a foster family where mm-hmm. I could just be away from them and start a new life. And we get into this facility, Howard, and they sit me down in this room and they put me at a little table with four chairs and my mom and dad are sitting across from each other and I'm sitting in one and this man sitting across from me and he looks over at me and he says, "You've been admitted into a long-term drug rehabilitation facility."
Wow.
And the roof came off.
I bet.
And that, you know, once again, to make a long story short, I was in this facility for 14 months, which was basically 12 hours a day. I was in a facility that was purely locked down. Mm-hmm. And, it was a kids helping kids type of rehabilitation center. And I spent 14 months of my life in this facility and I lived within 13 different foster homes throughout that period. And,
so you would spend half the time in the facility, the other half of the time at a foster home?
Correct.
And going to school at the same time?
Was not allowed to go to high school.
Okay.
I was pulled out of the high school system.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably appropriate and wise.
It was appropriate mm-hmm. and wise. Mm-hmm. I was able to earn the privilege to go back to school throughout the rehab center. It was mm-hmm. really a phase-based program where you basically start off with no rights to yourself. You have to ask to do anything. Mm-hmm. You got to ask to pick up a pen, ask mm-hmm. to put your jeans on in the morning. You have to ask to take a shower. They watch you. It's very, very strict. But, you know, at the end of the day, throughout this facility, there was one moment around 9 months into this facility where I had what I would call a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. And it was at that moment where God had given me the option to take his help or to not. And I took it. Mm. And so to move forward, this month will have been 27 years of being fully recovered.
Wow.
So that's not one sip of alcohol or one substance drug into my body.
Wow.
So, you know, once again, how do you measure success?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a great story, Mark. And, you know, it's the type of story that I hope we have some young listeners who are facing challenges. And, you know, I'm a believer, Mark, that we don't have to speak to a whole class or thousands of people. Sometimes there can only be one person that hears your story and says, "I'm going to seek help." right?
Yes.
And it makes it worthwhile. But more important than that, or equally as important, I should say, is how did you get from there to where you are now? So what you just described is how you saved your life. Okay. Now, how did you turn that life into one that is, has led you to be at the point that you are?
Well, in my, you know, early 20s, after I had, you know, been through this facility and graduated and was just had received a full dose of confidence again in mm-hmm. my system, in my soul. Mm-hmm. I was able to look in the mirror again and say, that's a good person.
Right.
He's a good guy, and there's mm-hmm. a purpose for your life.
Mm-hmm.
There's a purpose out there. So I was dead set on finding that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, you know, I had always, you know, worked hard, even through all the adversity. I worked, my parents installed a very, very deep worth ethic in mm-hmm. my soul. And I've always had that. And I've worked 2, 3, 4 jobs to make ends meet mm-hmm. when I was, you know, 18 years old, living on my own, mm-hmm. trying to finish high school, mm-hmm. working 40 hours a week mm-hmm. as a busboy at an Olive Garden in Irving, Texas. I was dead set on finishing that high school, working to pay the rent. And so that just slowly carried over into my early 20s. And then, you know, in my mid 20s, I made the decision to move from Kansas to Key Largo. And like I had said earlier, I started off at this resort as a waiter, and I moved up to a fine dining waiter. Mm-hmm. And then I moved into the sales position just by hard work mm-hmm. and determination. I was really just determined to get the best of this world and to really, and to be successful and to succeed, to prove to myself and myself only that all that matters is proven to me that I'm capable of doing whatever I put my mind to.
That's great. So you would say then that if you want to set a pattern that's going to lead to success, you've got to first deal with yourself. You've got to become the person you want to be, right? Is there anything else that you would add to that in terms of what are the keys?
Well, for me, the keys were, yes, always believing in myself. No matter yes. how low you get in life, or no matter how many curveballs you get thrown, or, you know, we all have those days where you just want to yep. pull your hair out just because that's human nature. Mm-hmm. And for me, being able to take days one day at a time,
mm-hmm.
I do live my life one day at a time. And there's been days in my life where I've had to live that same day 1 hour at a time. Mm-hmm. And some days 1 minute
just
at a time.
Just to get through.
Just to get through. Sure. Whether it's, and this is all relating to business.
Yeah.
Forget about the recovery and all that. I got that down. And I still live that part of my life
right.
one day at a time. However, you know, the other thing that I've always strived to do is to have a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had dreams, and one of my dreams was to work for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the Girling Travel Group is my dream.
Sure.
And it's my baby. And I learned by working from other people. I worked with some really good people in the sales and marketing world throughout my career. And I've been able to take those learned lessons from marketing, strategy, business, and take those into Girling Travel Group and turn a dream into a multi-million dollar a year sales mm-hmm. company, strictly in the travel industry. Yeah. And so it's been a good run.
Oh, it certainly has been. And I just have to say that I don't think Girling Travel Group is a dream. It is a dream come true.
It is. It is. It's working.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, thank you for being on the show. And also thank you for your contributions to this community. You know, not just to Flagler Beach, but overall, you know, you play a role in many ways here, and I know a lot of people know that. And for those who don't know, I want to make sure that they hear it from me. So on behalf of everyone here, thank you, Mark, and thank you for being on Against All Odds.
Well, I appreciate it, Howard. And my last note would just be my involvement in the community of Palm Coast, Flagler County, whether it's Flagler Beach, on the Chamber of Commerce, or with you at the county chamber board level, or the Rotary Club that I've been involved with. Part of life for me and to be successful is to give back
mm-hmm.
and to be able to be there for other people. So it's been a huge part of my life, and I just really appreciate y'all having me.
Thank you, sir. We're going to take a break. We're going to hear from our sponsors, and we will be right back. You are listening to Against All Odds.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Gretchen Smith of the Flagler County Chamber. Our mission is to help local businesses thrive, which is also the name of our new business-to-business magazine. Thrive is a great tool for area businesses and others considering Flagler as their corporate home. With interesting content, business highlights, trending topics, and insights you won't find elsewhere, Thrive is produced by and for Flagler County businesses. To advertise in this quarterly magazine, call the Holly Group at 386-283-5907. Let us help you thrive.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Against All Odds, and my name is Howard Holly. I'm here with my co-host, Kristen Weitzel, and we just finished interviewing Mark Girling. Kristen, what did you think?
I thought Mark was such an inspiration to people, and I think no matter who's listening to the show, what age group they're in, they could take something from Mark's story and apply it to their own life. So if you are younger and you're going through those growing pains in your teen years and you're experimenting with things you shouldn't be experimenting with,
yeah.
You know, there is life after that and you can become wildly successful. And on the other side of that, we have parents who listen to this show who have teenage kids who might be going through something like that and they don't know how hard to push on those kids, what they should do. Should they ship them off for 14 months to a rehab in Ohio, or should they play the nice parent and coddle them and kind of help them through it that way? But Mark's story really shows that sometimes you need to be a parent and you need to do those things if you want your kids to be successful in
and
life.
It also shows that, you know, there is hope, that regardless of what your loved one is going through at the time, there in fact can be hope about the future. And that's one of the key messages to take. I'm very pleased that Mark would come and share that. He followed, Dr. Eaton, Carol Eaton, and her sharing her life story about adversity. I hope we can continue, this pattern, Kristen. It's been illuminating and I hope our listeners appreciate it as well. And so we're going to have to say goodbye. We're running out of time. But as always, the best of luck to you in the upcoming week in overcoming your challenges both today and tomorrow. My name is Howard Holly, and you are?
Kristen Weitzel.
Have a blessed week, everyone.